Good morning, one and all. It is my joy to share with you the Word of God concerning the Apostle Paul. I'd like to break this topic of Paul into two parts, part one and part two, because it's too long to make it into one. And so today I will be covering the first part concerning before his conversion and after his conversion. So there are two parts. I also need you to cover your prayer, as I had cough on Friday. So I was thinking, what should I do? Well, take cough mixture. Pray, ask God to help. Well, the Lord helps. But the cough mixture, the effect very strong, make me drowsy, you know. So not feeling well, so much, not feeling feel uncomfortable, okay? I hope I won't sleep. And by God's grace, I think the Lord has something for us to learn today. All right, let's come back to the Apostle Paul. There are many amazing conversion of hard-hearted sinners recorded in church history, people who would never have turned to Christ apart from the power of the gospel of Christ. And of course, the first one that I think of is John Newton. We all know John Newton very well, the author of The Amazing Grace. Let me give you a briefly about his life, why it was so amazing that such a person can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We all know that John Newton was born and brought up in the Christian home. And for the first 6 years of his life, he heard the gospel and was dearly loved by his parents. When his parents died, he went to live with his relatives and was ill-treated and ridiculed for his interest in Christ. And the boy could not tolerate the abuse. He fled and joined the Royal Navy. In the Navy, his life went downhill. He became known as a brawler and was whipped many times. Finally, he deserted the Royal Navy and fled to Africa. He attached himself to a Portuguese slave trader. There, his life reached the lowest level. He went to join another slave trader. There, his life became desperately depraved. He stole the ship's whiskey and got drunk that he fell overboard. He was close to drowning when one of his shipmates saw him, brought him back on board. Finally, in the midst of a great storm off Scotland, he began to reflect on the verses of the Bible which he learned as a boy. And then the Word of God spoke to him, and he was marvelously converted, became a Christian, a real Christian. Many of us would not think that such a person who was so depraved, so down, so out, can be a Christian. Well, this is one of the many of them who have turned to Christ. So my friend, never look down on person that person is condemned to hell. No. Who knows? By God's grace, that person can turn to know the Lord Jesus Christ. However, no spiritual transformation is as remarkable as that of the Apostle Paul. His conversion was so important that the book of Acts recorded his life in three lengthy passages. Paul's name, original name, was Saul. He was born in the city of Tarsus in the province of Cilicia, near the border of Asia Minor and Syria. He was a Roman citizen. but his ethnic and religious background was Jewish. He received excellent training in Jerusalem and studied under one of the most respectable rabbis of that day by the name of Gamaliel. Saul was first mentioned in scripture in connection with the stoning of Stephen. This implied that he had a leading role in that sinful action. He was definitely the leader of the persecution of the church following the death of Stephen. Later, he described his role in great details before Agrippa, the passage that we have read just now, the chairman cherry that read just now in Acts chapter 26, that he was a great persecutor of the Christians. Saul became so obsessed with persecuting the Christian, so when he heard about a group of Christians in Damascus, Syria, he went to the high priest and asked for permission to arrest all of them. Now you may ask, why did Paul need to ask permission from the high priest? Answer: the dispute between Saul or Paul's followers and Christ's followers was seen by the Romans as an internal Jewish matter. All right, it's something that's within their group, their religion. Therefore, as a recognized head of the Jewish state, the high priest had the authority to act in this matter. So when Paul obtained the necessary authorized letter from the high priest, he set forth with his followers for Damascus to arrest all the Christians. Little did he know that he would have encounter with the risen Christ, and that would turn his world inside out and upside down. Now, let me tell you a little bit more of his journey to Damascus. Before he arrived in the city of Damascus, his journey was disrupted by a shining light from heaven. And the light was brighter than the noonday, as described by himself, as Paul has said to Agrippa in verse 16 of Acts 26, that it was a glorious appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. That awesome light caused Saul to fall to the ground in terror. He actually saw the Lord Jesus Christ in his glorious appearance, brilliant light, and understood the word the Lord Jesus Christ has spoken to him. Whereas all his followers, his companions, saw only the light and heard nothing but noise. Although God does not confound all men and women as dramatically as he did to Saul, he always begins the opening of an opportunity for them to hear the gospel and to come to Christ. In other words, if someone brings you to church or to hear the gospel, it is God who directs you to that place to have a chance to hear the gospel. And so through this encounter, understood that truth. And later on, he faithfully taught it to others, to the believers. And this is found in Titus chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. We have no time to read through. You have time, you can read how he was before and how he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. God gave him the opportunity to be saved, and he regarded this as the mercy of God. Now, during his encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, Saul heard his words. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Those words brought anguish to his soul, making him realize how wrong he had been and guilty for hating Jesus without a cause. Saul's crime was not merely that he persecuted Christians, but he had persecuted her, their head, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, my friend, the sin that ultimately condemns people to hell is a refusal to believe, refusal to accept God's love, and refusal to obey Christ. The genuine salvation must include personal conviction of that sin. When Saul heard the Lord Jesus says, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest," immediately he realized that Jesus was really the Messiah. His gospel was God's truth. At that instant, Saul's resistance collapsed, and he turned to the Lord in repentance and in faith. He described his transformation that occurred in his life. So in that hour, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 4 to 11. Now, after his conversion, we know that the conversion of Saul is truly a testimony of the sovereign grace and the power of God. Regarding that day on the way to Damascus, he gave one explanation for what happened to him. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13 to 16, he said what he was before. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, he said he was a blasphemer. He was a persecutor, an injurious. But I obtained what? Mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. God and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ was exceeding abundant. See, by grace of God and by the mercy of God, Paul was saved. God's intervention brought him face to face to Christ, and by faith he accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior. His salvation was genuine. There's no doubt about it, because he was obedient to the Lordship of Christ. Immediately he submitted himself to the will of the Lord. How do we know? Because Acts 22 verse 10 said that he said to the Lord, "Lord, what shall I do, Lord?" He addressed the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord. And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do." And when he could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with him, and I came to Damascus. This was his testimony in Acts chapter 22, verse 10 and 11. Therefore, Saul entered into the city of Damascus was not what he anticipated. He did not plan to enter the city to be a Christian. He did not plan at all. What was his planning? His plan was to enter the city to arrest all the Christians, not to become a Christian, but God has changed him. Now he entered the city in humiliation and blindness as a Christian, seeking to know what the Lord would have him to do for the rest of his life. While in the city, the Lord gave Saul some time to meditate on his transformation. Acts chapter 9, verse 9 tells us, he was there 3 days without sight, and neither eat nor drink. During that time, God led Saul to reevaluate his entire life and purpose. He began his journey towards spiritual growth and service for the Lord that were last till he died. Paul became a man of prayer. While he waited, he devoted himself in prayer and fasting. And God gave him a vision that a man named Ananias would lay hands on him and restore his sight in Acts chapter 9, verse 17. And Ananias is described as a man who was devout and having a good report of all the Jews who live in Damascus. He was one of the leaders of the church in Damascus. Therefore, he would have been one of Saul's main targets for arrest. All right? But in a separate vision, the Lord told Ananias about Saul's vision and also asked him to visit Saul. If you were Ananias, what you would do? This man come to arrest you and God said, go and do something. Well, that is the reason. And of course, God has a reason for calling Ananias. Although it would have been difficult for him, not yet totally convinced of Saul's conversion, Ananias did not know at all. Ananias was willing to be used by God. That's the main thing. And with the hope that Saul would be greatly used by God. See, he went by faith. When God said, go, and he went. Now in Acts chapter 15, chapter 9, verse 15 and 16, here tells us something about Saul or Paul's calling. Say, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the king of Israel. For I will show him great things he must suffer for my name's sake. God told Ananias his purpose for Saul. He's going to be his witnesses. These words of the Lord prove that Saul's call to spiritual service is not based on human wisdom or human desire, but on the sovereign will of God. God chose him. Paul understood this truth in his Christian service, and it was mentioned often throughout his letters as an apostle. Most of the letters he wrote to the churches, he said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. He mentioned to them he was an apostle chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, the plan that God had for Saul were to carry out in the years to come, not at one shot, in the years to come. In his ministry, Paul often preached to the Jews first. He always think of the Jews, go to the Jews first. Then he preached to the Gentiles so that he could fulfill his primary calling. He also preached to the king, before the king, like such as Agrippa, the passage that we had read just now, and most likely Caesar. This you can find in 2 Timothy concerning this. Now, when Ananias finally met Saul, his laying of hand on Paul or on Saul at that service involved more than the restoration of sight. It's not lay hand on the head and he could see. It's not just that. It was also former commissioning into the service. And he said, the God of our father had chosen thee, and thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men for what thou hast seen and heard. Acts 22, verse 14 and 15. And Elias told Saul about this. Acts chapter 9, verse 17 talks about the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, this was an important part of Paul's commissioning. It was the filling of the Holy Spirit. Obviously, the Holy Spirit had already worked in his life to bring salvation to his, to bring about his salvation. The Holy Spirit convinced him, first of all, of his sin, and then convict him of his sin, and then convince him of the Lordship of Christ, and then finally convert him and place him in the church, and in the Holy Spirit indwell in him permanently. But now, Saul need to be filled with the Holy Spirit in the manner that would empower him for the service of Christ. So the filling of the Holy Spirit has to do with the service of Christ. Since Paul received the Holy Spirit at his commission without the assistance of any approver of any other than the apostle, and also without the dramatic outpouring of the Spirit that occurred at Pentecost. All those things that happened at Pentecost did not happen at Saul. Saul was an apostle in his own right. The Holy Spirit filled him and used him for his glory. He was called by the Lord Jesus Christ. He was not by other apostles. He was not called by the other apostles. The major way that the Holy Spirit first transformed Saul was to refine his natural strength. The Holy Spirit, first of all, refined his natural strength, helped him in his leadership, his willpower, motivation, conviction, knowledge, public speaking ability, and helped him to use his talent wisely for the Lord. Then the Holy Spirit replaced his undesirable personal characters with desirable one. The Holy Spirit replaced his natural hatred with love, his aggressiveness with peace, his harsh treatment of people with gentleness, and his pride with humility. You see, the Holy Spirit changed his life, and he became a new person. Later, Saul acknowledged the Holy Spirit is working in his life. And the Holy Spirit is not only working in his life, but also working in all the believers' life. As he has mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Here he says, "But we all, including himself, with open face, beholding as a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Holy Spirit." You know, the Holy Spirit changed each one of us into the kind of person He wants us to be. Now, finally, after becoming a Christian, that was not in the end. Saul made a point to have fellowship with the believers. And Saul Howard's act of obedience following his commission was to obey Ananias' exhortation and be baptized. This is the first thing. Then he openly identified with the very people he had hated and persecuted. If you are doing something very wrong, will you dare to mix with them again? You hate them, do you want to make friends with them again? But here we see that Paul made the point to identify himself with the people that he hated and persecuted. Then he had fellowship with the believers in Damascus for several days. That gave the believers time to celebrate Saul's conversion and to minister to his needs. Such a desire for Christian fellowship is a mark of a divine change life. All believers, all genuine believers will agree with the word of the psalmist who say this. You are Christian, I hope you can say these words. In Psalm 119, verse 63, we have read through Psalm 119. Do we notice this verse? Psalm 119, verse 63. All right, we read this verse. Psalm 119, verse 63. Here, the psalmist says what? I am a companion of all them that keep thy precepts. If you are a Christian, genuine Christian, you like to what? Mix with all the Christians. You see? Dear friends, do you enjoy the fellowship of other believers? I know some of them, they just come to church and that's all. They don't have fellowship with other Christians. But we are taught by the word of God that we should have this joy of fellowship with Christians. So may God help each one of us as we study the life of Paul, that we can learn something from him. The second part, I will touch on his ministry and his view concerning the Christian ministry. I'm not going to mention the three missionary journeys. That's not the focal point. Focal point is on his life, the way he looked at things. So that is the second part which I will be speaking in time to come. So may God help each one of us to understand that God works in a marvelous way. A person like Paul or Saul, so depraved, and yet can turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. No one is beyond salvation. If anyone is willing to open his heart to the Lord is able to save that person. Apart from Saul, I have seen many people who are hardened in heart, refuse to believe, but at the end, they came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. When I was a college student, I have a privilege to minister to the prisoners in Changi Prison. A group of us, Bible college students, we went there every week to minister to these people. Reverend Heng is our leader at that time. And I've seen many of them, after hearing the simple gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, turn their hearts to him. Their parents have been worshipping the idols, hoping the child, their son will change. But the more they worship, the more they enter into prison. These people treat prison like second home. And when they became a Christian, their life changed. Not easy for them, because there are many people who would like to pull them back into the old ways. But there are some of them who really trust the Lord. The life was truly saved. And I can tell you some of them that I know them. One of them was saved, couldn't find a job. What to do? The only way is go back to the old ways. But no, the Lord gave him some bright ideas to start his own business, simple business, selling some dim sum, or those food. And he opened a store in the coffee shop, just a small corner, and with the name, Tian Tian Lai. Very popular. At that time, it was in Balestier Road, you see. Well, he was a prisoner, and the Lord convinced him. And later on, he became a Christian. He joined the Methodist, Torai Methodist Church, and with his parents all together. This is one of them. And there are many of them, I can tell you. I've seen them coming to know the Lord. So my friend, this is a lesson for us today. Pray for those who are still outside Christ. Don't give up. The Lord, by his grace and mercy, will help them to see and they will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. May God help us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for thy precious word, which help us to see how great thou art. Thy grace is so wonderful that we are able to change life that are so depraved and use them for thy glory. And we pray that you give us this strength, this courage to do what you have commanded us to do. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.